The Great Outdoors, 1988. To escape the hustle and bustle of the daily grind, Chet takes his family to a cabin resort to get some quality family time in. Unfortunately, the trip leads to a fall, and his in-laws join in on the weekend unannounced and unwanted.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Rating the Show, where I get together with two of my buddies. We take a movie franchise, break it. You know what? We're not doing any of that today. Today's the Patreon pick, and instead, we are just taking a random movie that our Patreon chose for us and giving it a score so we can throw it up on the board. So this week, we're taking a look at 1988, The Great Outdoors, starring Dan Aykroyd and John Candy. I almost lost the name because I wasn't planning on doing this much talking. We're going to take a look at that one today. It is not part of a franchise, and it's kind of fun to take a break from a series of movies, just be able to talk about one individual movie. Will, have you seen The Great Outdoors before?
Long, long time ago when I was just a wee lad. Yeah, but it wasn't one that I went back to again and again. And I think a lot of people do in this movie's case.
Fair enough. What about you, Brian? Have you ever seen this one before?
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago. I remembered highlights from the film. So as we watched it together in the watch party, it was all coming back to me. I'd see them go to the restaurant or something and be like, oh, I remember this scene. And it was pretty exciting to see it unfold again.
Nice. This was my first time watching this movie. I'd never seen it before. Now, I don't know if I've seen clippets of this movie or just scenes from this movie stolen from other movies. This movie is, it's got to be coming up on 40 years old at this point. So things like the jet skiing scene and like the restaurant scene were very familiar, although I don't think I've seen those specific scenes before. So this was my first time watching this one. What do you guys think? We did this one as a watch party over at our Patreon Discord stream. So we got us and a couple of the viewers together, watched this one together on a Sunday night. And I had a pretty good time doing that, watching it with the other people. What do you guys think about the rewatch? Did it hold up for you?
Yeah, I had fun rewatching this because it was so far from when I'd seen it last that all the other stuff in the film was new and fresh to me. And I was laughing along to it. This older movie still held up, but I think it was more the charisma of the characters in it. And, you know, we'll get more into that as we talk about it.
Yeah, I agree with Brian's sentiment that the actors, I think, carry this, the charisma of Dan Aykroyd and John Candy playing off of one another. They're good friends outside of this movie. They've worked together plenty in and around Hollywood and coming up. So I enjoyed them. I don't know if all of the gags and everything or if the story is all that great, but it is just kind of a silly slapstick comedy.
I'm kind of happy that you brought that up, to be perfectly honest. I can't quite say that this was A Fish Called Wanda for me, which is one of the other Patreon picks we did that Brian just really did not get into. But I definitely feel like even during the watch party, and I admittedly was sick. You can probably still tell I'm a little bit congested at the moment. I've just been dealing with something all week. So I was a little bit sick during that. It was still fun hanging out with the patrons. This movie just didn't quite do it for me. Now, because I'd never seen it before, there was no nostalgia to this one. Mm-hmm. I agree. It was fun watching Dan Aykroyd and John Candy. And even like Annette Bening was kind of like in a rare turn. You know, I haven't seen her in a long time in film. It wasn't painful to watch by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think I laughed through the entire thing. Like, there's maybe one guffaw moment which I can't even remember, but it was kind of like, oh, like I'm not bored, but I'm not laughing either. Like, it was just right. Kind of that, like, this is happening.
I get what they're going for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even during the watch party, like you were saying a couple of times, like, oh, this is so funny, and I'm like, is it like, am I that out of it? Like, you were commenting on, like, the music for the date scenes and stuff like that. I'm like,
right. I think part of that is, like, it to me, a lot of that, maybe it is a little bit nostalgia, but it's like, oh, wow, this exact theme song that they created for this, like, young love summer interaction. And they played that exact music for every single scene that it happened, like those two characters got together. I was just like, it's so funny to me because it's so bad, which isn't a showing of a good movie, but to me it's funny because it's like, so this is the least they could do to make it happen. I don't know. I do get a laugh sometimes out of bad movie things, and that was one of them for sure.
So the music wasn't the worst. It was a bad part, but honestly, all of the scenes with the older sibling and his little love interest was completely unnecessary to the movie. It wasn't funny, and the music was taking me out of it. I was laughing at how dumb that music was. I was like, this would never fly today. You can't keep playing that same track over and over. It was really horrific, and that's why I was kind of laughing at that, but it wasn't, I wasn't laughing. It's not something that's supposed to be funny like that. So I couldn't stand those scenes. In fact, some of the kids kind of killed it for me. That was probably the worst part, is every time they take away, I just wanted to watch Dan Aykroyd and John Candy do their thing. Mm-hmm. That was just funny. Their chemistry, charisma together was hilarious. These characters, especially Dan Aykroyd's character, could not be pulled off by anybody else. No one is going to be that dumb and still make me believe it, except for Dan Aykroyd. And he did a great job. And that character was hilarious to me. I don't think anybody else could have done it. The kids, forget about them. Just cut that out of the film and give me more fun.
I think you need to have the kids to make it a family trip. But yeah, I don't think they need to be like a major plot point like they were. Like,
and I think the one kid is completely forgettable. Nostalgic things that anybody could relate to and be like, oh, I remember, you know, young love on a summer camping trip kind of thing. I just couldn't really relate to that. And it was so kind of terribly done. It just took me out rather than give me something.
Yeah, there just wasn't enough to that thread of the movie to actually make it worthwhile, right? And I understand. This is written by John Hughes. John Hughes writes 1,000 scripts in the 80s. Yeah, you know, a lot of bangers, but, you know, some not so good. You know, Home Alone, great. Home Alone 2, not so great. But that's just the way it is. We still love John Hughes. And yeah, it just felt like they were purposely trying to get a little bit of every age group so that this would appeal to everyone. And instead, it kind of just took away from the whole movie.
I don't know that I quite agree that the love story was unnecessary. I just don't think it was fleshed out enough. Like, exactly. I think it could have been something. Because you got the twins who do literally nothing other than get lost at the end of the movie, which they tell you is going to happen
and like be a little creepy
times throughout the movie. And the son, the younger son, which, like, creepy,
non-existing, what,
nothing to do?
Yeah,
I think the only thing the young son was there was actually bonding time with father and son. There was a couple of scenes.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, like he's trying to convince him to go
cut some of it out or something. Like, maybe they cut some of it. He was supposed to have a segment, but it just never happened.
Yeah, because he goes to the bear at the garbage dump with his son, and then he does the water skiing bit, and that was pretty much it for the young kid. But
both of those could have been with the older kid, though, right? Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, the younger kid, I'm sure he had lines, but I couldn't tell you a single one of them. The only thing I remember was he's sitting there holding a transformer at one point. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I had that one.
See, they're trying for nostalgia.
Yeah, wow. It's really all it is.
The water skiing part, he had this incredible, amazing run on the water skis where he does all these crazy tricks and all this craziness. And at the end, he's freaking out and pissed off, and he played that totally wrong. He should have gone like, ah, look what I did, and just taken credit for it. And he would have been a hero for the day. Like, that was amazing. And instead, they tried to turn it into this instance where he's going to pack his bags and leave, and he's had it with his brother-in-law. And I was just like, dude, what are you doing? What is this? Like, anybody else would have just been like, yeah, that was me. I did that.
No. Well, he was immediately like exhausted. Like, he just like falls over. He's just like, I can't believe that just happened. But yeah, then he does kind of get pissed off and is like, all right, well, this vacation's over and I can't believe this ever happened. I mean, admittedly, it's the wives that are related, right? The two
I think
main characters are not.
I actually have no idea, but that's what I assumed as well.
I couldn't find the chemistry. I didn't know who was actually a brother, sister. I didn't know.
That was kind of my point. Like, none of them seem like they're having a good time. Like, it's not even like the sisters are getting along and the husbands don't. It feels like all four of them are like, what the actual crap is happening right now? Mm-hmm. Like, can we all go our separate ways and just never talk again? It would have been nice if there had been some chemistry between some of the characters. Like, even if the wives, like, I wouldn't necessarily want the wives playing off of their husbands. Like, that's a little bit played out per se, but at least have the wives like each other would be right. Like, okay, there's something.
Yeah, it was a tricky setup for the payoff at the end, whether it paid off or not, right? Because the whole reason the brother-in-law is there is to get money out of Chet. Yep. And so they weren't invited. And so they didn't really want to be there. Neither party wanted the other to be there except for, you know, the intent of getting money at the end. And then that all gets washed away in the rain, so to speak.
Well, probably they couldn't afford their actual vacation, right? The free vacation by stealing from his brother is the only thing they could afford to do and still save some amount of face. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I do apologize if I was stepping on a point you were about to make. Did Dan Aykroyd's wife, Annette Bening, did she know that they were broke, or was he confessing to her as well?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. That's a tough sell then.
On the drive,
not go on your big trip.
On the drive back, she, you know, she kept talking about how wonderful it was for him to, you know, let him in on the deal and all that, completely oblivious to the fact that her husband was broke out of work and stealing money from her brother-in-law. I don't know, from, you know, John Candy. So that was part of what the guilt trip was when he turned the car around and went back and then came clean about it, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Were you guys bothered by the fact that there was no actual real plot to this that didn't come out until the very end of the movie, did we discover the reasoning for all this, right? He just shows up and we're having a group vacation now and people are upset. And there's no real reason for it until we get to the end and now we're like, oh, okay, this is why it's all happening. But for the majority of the movie, it's just them doing a vacation. Did that bother you that there was no structure to this plot?
I don't think that it did, to be perfectly honest. I wasn't looking for a whole lot of plot from this movie. And it portrays itself in a way like you're instantly introduced to John Candy. Clearly, he's the lovable character you're supposed to like. You're instantly introduced to Dan Aykroyd and like in a really dirty, creepy way. So clearly he's the bad guy. And you're just kind of going through kind of like a day in the life or a weekend in the life of these two characters. You're absolutely right. There is no quote unquote plot to this film. But honestly, until you mentioned it like 20 seconds ago, I don't know that I even noticed it, let alone bothered me. Like, it's a comedy. They're put in a comedic situation. Comedy ensues, in theory. It's fine. It's basically what I would expect. What about you, Will?
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's a situational comedy. The idea is that these crazy antics that they kind of go through over the weekend kind of holds your interest and you're there for the laughs. And then at the end, they try to wrap it in a bow, right? Which is great when, you know, it works. Did this movie work? I don't know, a little bit. I mean, it made for a happy ending and everybody loves each other at the end, which is fine. You know, that's the nature of comedies in the most classic of ways.
That felt like it came out of nowhere. Like, he introduces the fact that he's like, oh, by the way, I just tried to rob you for $25,000 and I made up a story to humiliate you to try and like work my way into this. And I'm going to stay at your house until I get my feet under me. And like, John Candy's kind of like, yeah, your family, what are you going to do? And I'm just like, I wouldn't let him near me again. Like, what are you talking about? Did that bother you guys at all?
That didn't bother me because the chemistry between these two, every time Dan Aykroyd started selling something, I was buying it. I can't believe it. His character was absolutely unbelievable, and yet I was believing it. And that's one of the things that I was so impressed with, is that he had this dumb, conniving moron of a character that he was playing, and he was selling it, and it worked. And that's not something that we see. A lot of times you see in these comedies, somebody playing the idiot role and they're just so dumb, it's unbelievable, and it tends to not be that funny to me. This one, he just rode that line so well. It was a master performance, in my opinion. I liked it.
So you're saying Dan Aykroyd is charismatic with nice hair and could talk you into a cult? That's
okay, I just want to make sure.
We'll cut that, but I just couldn't let that go.
For more on that, show up to Twitch beforehand to see our antics. Yeah.
No, I didn't hate it either. I think, you know, it's fine showing that Dan Aykroyd's character is obviously flawed and not always the best person, but when it comes right down to it, he does believe in family over, you know, selfishness and selfish ways. And so I think that's fine. And it just gives that warm fuzzies at the end of the movie. But then they still, you know, give you a little elbow to John Candy being like, now we're staying with you still. So it's not over. More antics are going to ensue, you know.
Yeah, the Great Outdoors fine. 2, if we have to.
Oh yeah, yeah. We don't have to.
No. I'm just saying, like leave ourselves open for the oh, and now we're moving in plot.
Sure.
One scene that I could have swore was in this movie. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I didn't see it during the watch party. I could have swore there was a scene where John Candy falls asleep outside under the sun and gets a horrific sunburn from head to toe. Wasn't that in this movie? Or am I thinking of a different film?
I didn't see that, so.
I didn't see it either, but I kept waiting for that scene to pop up because I was like, that scene and the 96-ounce steak scene, I remembered being hilarious.
Is that maybe Uncle Buck?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm wondering if it was a different John Hughes film, and I'm just getting them mixed up. Because like I said, it was a long time ago when I saw this. Yeah. But I could have swore he fell asleep at the side of the lake or something and got a wicked bad sunburn.
There's also a movie called Summer Rental. That might be it.
Maybe that's it then.
Yeah, that looks like that's the one.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, he's at the beach and falls asleep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say it was really nice to go back and watch a John Candy film. Like, I'm not the biggest fan. There's not an actor that I go back and rewatch his films often. But he does have this life to him that is undeniable when you're watching it. Like, even though I didn't laugh during this movie, I also mentioned I was never bored during this movie. Like, the movie keeps going at a good pace. The chemistry between the characters is incredible. It's just fun. I know that's a terrible word that I keep using, like, for reviews. Like, oh, the Avatar humor, is fun.
But do you think the humor is a little dated for your taste?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this movie probably was more funny in 1988, and probably nostalgia carries it pretty hard. Now, I didn't watch this with my kids because I did it with the watch party. Maybe introducing it to somebody younger, they would
see it through their eyes.
It more.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that they specifically would appreciate it more so than I would. I'm glad I watched it. I legitimately am. It was fun watching it with the watch party. It's great talking to you guys. I don't see a good reason why I'd ever return to this one.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think this movie didn't do great in theaters, but it did hit, when it hit VHS, it actually took off as like a something people picked up and watched again and again kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like the Christmas Vacation Lampoon style. This was like a summertime kind of watch style, right?
I think the biggest thing for me is that this movie, I just feel like they must have had a great time filming it. When they recorded the scene with the bat in the house flying around and they're in their ridiculous little armor costumes chasing that bat around and acting like they're spooked, which is just a bat on a fishing line. It looks so fake and dumb. But I was laughing because they looked like they were genuinely having a good time filming this movie. Like, that just looked like a blast to do. You know, everybody's outside laughing at them as they're trying to, you know, capture this bat, smacking each other in the face and stuff. It just looked like a real good time. And so it was enjoyable to watch that.
I was actually just looking it up. This movie cost about $24 million and it raised about $44 million. So like almost doubled. So that's not bad. Mm-hmm. And then my brain just got stuck like, wait, this movie cost $24 million in 1988. Like,
that's a lot.
That's got to be Dan Aykroyd and John Candy's salary, right? Like, there's not really like Probably. The bear, I guess, but there's not really anything on screen.
Yeah, I don't know how.
You're mentioning like a bat on a string as one of the major props. Like, ooh,
I don't know how much Bart the Bear costs, but he is, he gets around. That bear has done a lot of movies.
Oh,
so, I've seen Bart the Bear in lots of movies, and you probably have too. Anything in the 80s, 90s. Bart the Bear, I think, lived quite a while. I've got it. 1977 to 2000, Bart the Bear. And he had over 30 film and television appearances, and you've probably seen him in lots. He started as a cub in The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, but he's also been featured in The Edge, The Bear, Legends of the Fall, Homeward Bound. This guy gets around. You know, he trained from a cub, and what movie, you know, how many movies need bears? You know, if you need it, you're going to go to Bart the Bear because he's huge. He's like over 9 feet tall. Let's face
it, every movie could do better with a bear in it.
Yeah, so I definitely enjoy Bart the Bear anytime I see him. So I was happy to go down that rabbit hole again. Once I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, Bart the Bear. So cool.
What did you think of Bart the Bear's bare ass?
I mean, yeah, it's super ridiculous. And that's like definitely like an 80s trope, like so over the top, silly. Yeah. That I'm okay with it. You know, he's just literally bouncing off him as he's running away. It's just so funny to me. Even the front when he's bald would look terrible too, but it is what it is. You just kind of buy into it or not.
For those who haven't seen the movie, because I feel like there are some in the chat who are like, what are we talking about? There is a story near the beginning where John Candy is talking. He's giving a ghost story, essentially, but it's a story about this gigantic bear that comes up to the house and his dad or grandfather shoots at it, misses, but like skims its head and like takes a bunch of hair off. So like the bear is this gigantic bald-headed bear. At the end of the movie, we meet this giant bear. So it was a true story, or some parts of it were true at least. And they end up shooting it to get it away from their family, and they shoot it in the ass, and it blows all the hair off its butt, and this bear runs away looking like a pink-butted baboon. It is the most ridiculous thing. And it's like so clearly this plastic thing that they just stapled onto the bear's ass. Like, it looks awful. And but also, like
the whimpering noises. It's so ridiculous. It's just ridiculous,
like,
right?
It looks awful, but like in the exact right way. If that makes sense, like it fits the movie perfectly while also being like, that's dumb.
Yeah. Just cheesy enough.
The raccoons did nothing for me. I kept feeling like, oh, this is going to be funny. And then it wasn't really all that funny. Like, they were telling us the subtitle jokes, and I was like, it just missed for me. I don't know. It didn't do it.
I also feel like that's a late 80s thing, is like talking animals were big in the late 80s, like subtitled talking animals for some reason. Writers were just there for it. Yeah. And blue lighting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Highlander. You made our world a better place.
We notice it in every movie now, every 80s movie at least.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I feel like, I don't mean to be mean when I say that. I feel like the raccoons were in the exact right movie. Like, you watch this, you're like, oh, this is going to be funny. And then it just kind of wasn't. But I didn't dislike it. Now, I used to work at a campground that had a petting zoo. And in the petting zoo were raccoons. And they were super domesticated. So you could go in and, like, pet them and whatnot.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, it was like I've always had kind of an affection for raccoons. So it was kind of cute seeing them. But you're right. Like, I was anticipating them being, like, the stars of the show, almost like stealing the scenes, and instead they're just kind of like talking in screechy voices and like subtext underneath them. Like,
they were just there to set up Dan Aykroyd teeing off John Candy to go throw up after that steak. That's what I felt like it was there for.
Yeah, they were like almost just like interludes into like, okay, time has passed. Yeah. That was their purpose, and it was like
day three.
Exactly.
I'll say this: I enjoyed them better than the love affair between the son and the girl at the lake. There.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't.
Brian just doesn't believe in young love.
I just didn't believe
or young people.
That one. That one was. I didn't mind the younger son when he was in the car with dad and the bear was coming up. That was good. That was fine. How they were like pretending they were tired and they need to leave and they just drive off with the bears on their on their car. That was fine. The older son was just had this cheesy look on his face, and it never went anywhere or mattered. And the only time that I ever cared was when he was waiting for his dad to finish eating the steak. And I think everybody in chat was like, dude, just go home.
Right.
Like, go. Yeah. Like, what are you waiting for your dad to finish the steak for? Go on your date.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was just like, why are you still there? Nobody knows that you're there. Nobody's talking to each other. Everybody's just staring at your dad. Just like, I gotta go to the bathroom and just disappear. Now, who knows? Maybe they're in the middle of absolute nowhere. And it's like, well, it'll take me 3 hours to walk there. So I'm kind of stuck. Who knows? Going back 1 second, the scene in the car where they're like, oh, the bears. Does the little kid say anything? Or are you just okay with him because he's sitting in the back seat being quiet?
I thought he was in the front with his dad.
Isn't it? Aren't all three of them there? Isn't it the teenage boy, the young boy, and the dad?
No, when they're at the bear watching?
At the bear thing?
I think it's just the two of them.
Oh, okay. My bad. My bad.
Yeah.
And that was fun scenes. I'm not taking that away from you. I was picturing the three of them for some reason.
It felt very reminiscent of the scene with from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation where they're stringing up the Christmas lights and Russ is like, oh, okay, Dad. And they're like talking about the Christmas lights outside. that's kind of how that chemistry felt between him and the youngest at the bear scene too. And I was like, wow, this is kind of the same thing we've seen in other movies. It worked. It was funny. The bears up on top of the car were kind of funny. Why they would drive away with the bears still on the car, I don't know, but whatever. It entertained.
That was one of the cuter moments. Like, I actually, like, I don't say I'm not going to laugh out loud when he drove away, but it was kind of like, okay, that's silly. I like that.
Yeah. Just wholesome humor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. We actually did that growing up. Like, we used to have a cottage a couple hours away up in like the middle of nowhere. And that was one of the things we did, not at nighttime, but like going to the dump to drop the garbage off. And like, there were usually bears there. So that's one of those things where you're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing that people did outside of my weird family.
That's so cool. Funny.
Okay. So that was kind of a fun thing to see on the film. That was one thing we're like, oh, I actually do relate to this. Not the young love, not the eating a gigantic steak, but, you know, going to watch bears eat trash. There you go.
One out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, not bad.
The steak scene was really funny to me. The thing that made it so much more funny is when the chef looks down and he's like, no, you got to eat the gristle and fat too. And Dan Aykroyd, he says something like, hey, if I can get him to stuff down 2 pieces of key lime pie, will you throw in some shirts and t-shirts, like some t-shirts and hats or something? And then everybody comes in the door wearing the t-shirts.
Wearing the gear. Hat. Yeah, yeah.
That was one, good. Oh God, I was rolling over that because that was, again, it was Dan Aykroyd's charisma, his character, the way he played that and just landed those lines. It was funny to me.
Yeah. Have you guys ever tried something like that? Like a eating challenge?
No.
Not
Will does hot dogs and chocolate
as
fast as he can shove them in his face.
Nothing official, nothing official. But I have done stupid eating challenges that of my own brewing.
Gotcha. I almost tried this monster burrito thing where they're like, I think like 27 people have ever eaten it or something. It was this huge Mexican plate with just ginormous. I was really close to trying that and didn't. That was the closest I ever came to doing one of those. Okay. I would never do a steak. Like one of those big steaks. I'd worry that would kill me.
Brutal. I wouldn't do one that big, but I'd be curious to try something. I did in college. I went to a place with a buddy. I'd never been there before. And there was this like impossible burger. Not that means something else nowadays, but like just a gigantic burger. And then I go, if you can eat all of this in like half an hour, we'll put your burgers free and we'll put a picture of you on the wall or something like that. And my buddy who had met like at college was on the wall, and I was like, okay, I can probably handle this. And they brought this burger out, and I was like, okay, it's big, but it's not like insane. But the burger was so big that it wasn't cooked all the way through.
Oh no.
And I hate onions, and they made the ground beef with onions. No. So it's this like, not like red, but like definitely pink burger with onions throughout it. Right. And I was just like, I'm going to make myself sick from the onions or the raw meat, not necessarily the like quantity of food.
Yeah.
So that was one of those ones where I tapped out really early because I'm just like, this is fucking gross. Like, this is not a challenge because of how much food it is. This is a challenge because I don't want to die. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, and I remember talking to the witch, is like, this is honestly what you feed people? Like, this is something you think is okay? Like, no, absolutely not. I've never been to a restaurant where they put onions in the patties before. It never even occurred to me to ask Dan for it gets without that.
Through that impossible burger, and he's like, excuse me, I ordered medium well. Please send this back.
I'll just eat the outside layer and then just give it back for more cooking and then eat that layer and then give it back to more cooking. They'll just make it like 4 different times. Can you finish it now, sir? Like, yeah, I think so.
That's funny.
That's all I've got to say about this movie.
Yeah, I don't get to rate at this point. I mean, I got a couple things to say in the rating, I guess, but that's about it.
I know that seems kind of like a quick one, but
I mean,
there wasn't a lot to this movie. It was sit through and enjoy it.
I have said multiple times, a bad movie is fun to rate. A good movie is fun to talk about. An okay movie, there's nothing to say. Like, it's fine. I have no hate for this. I got no love for it. It passed an hour and a half. And thanks to Brian, I didn't even have to pay for it.
I do what I can. Yeah. And if you guys want to join us for watch parties where you can save a few bucks, we're going to be trying to get more and more movies in there every week, hopefully, is my goal to try and get a watch party going for something. So give you guys some value for your Patreon donations.
Speaking of which, do you want to do the Patreon this week? Kind of teed you up nicely.
I can try.
It's reading names. It's fine.
Okay. What did you normally say for the first one? If you'd like to support the show,
if you like what you do and you want to help support the show, please consider joining our Patreon. There's a link down below.
There we go. I can take it from here. That's what I needed. If you like what we do and you want to support the show, then consider.
You can do it. If you like what
we can
do,
we can edit crap out of this. This is great. Just take all the chances you need.
We'll all take a ring at it here. If you like what we do and you want to support the show, please consider joining our Patreon. You can join us for all kinds of fun activities over at our Discord, and we'll have fun playing with you. Wait, nope.
Okay. Take two. We'll go for Brian this time.
If you like what we do and you want to support the show, then consider being a member of our Patreon. We have all sorts of goodies that you can get involved in our Discord at a variety of levels. Links down below. Special thanks to our producers, who Dan doesn't leave on the screen long enough for me to read their names, but the executive producers are Real Bubba Hotep and Dino. And coming in at the writer level is Elder JM990, who's basically picking everything we get to watch right now. Thank you for that, Elder JM. He's got great taste in movies.
See, you did great.
That was great. Right,
yeah.
I forgot the link part, and so I said instead something horrible.
Yourself. No, play with yourself.
I wasn't quite that bad.
What did you say there? I don't remember.
We'll have fun playing with you.
Don't volunteer us for it.
You made it dirty, not me.
This is what's going to kill your political career. This is what's going to get you. Somebody's going to watch this. Like, if I join the Patreon, they'll play with me? Ew. I don't know if I want to do that.
Hey, you just watch those Patreon members climb, baby.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Remember, $500, you get feet pics from Dan.
Oh, I'm way cheaper than that.
What can I say about this movie other than it was an enjoyable time with friends to go back and check this out again? Lots of nostalgia for me. I don't know if it would be an amazing choice for someone out of the blue, though I would recommend it as a wholesome way to kill an hour and a half. I very much enjoyed the charisma between Aykroyd and Candy. I think they are what really sold this movie. It would not work with anyone else. I gave it a solid 70. It's just good fun.
Very similar to Brian. This movie was a first time viewing for me, so I have a bit of a unique experience compared to the other two. I think this movie was fine. It was fun. It lasted for an hour and a half. I was enjoying it the entire time. Maybe part of that was because of the watch party, so I was kind of watching it with friends. That definitely helped. But even so, I think that this is a good movie to watch. I did enjoy it. Seeing John Candy alive and well again was really heartwarming. His relationship with Dan Aykroyd is so much fun. They've got so much chemistry bouncing off of each other. I do wish that the wives not only had a little bit more to do, but maybe brought some actual family camaraderie to this film. Like if the husbands were warring, but they were getting along, something like that. But it was unfortunately just a lot of people being angry at themselves, at each other. I'm only giving this one a 60. It was fine. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's one that I can recommend all that heavily to people. I think a lot of this one is carried by nostalgia, whether it's for the movie itself or just for the actors. So a younger generation who doesn't have that nostalgia for Dan Aykroyd or John Candy will probably get very little out of this film, unfortunately.
All good thoughts, all good ratings. I lean to Brian on this one. There's something just so charming and lovely and watchable about John Candy that I just, if I am cruising on a TV and John Candy comes up on screen, I'm watching it. The man is a legend, and rightfully so. And you know why he's so legendary? It's because he's Canadian. That's right. Dan Aykroyd and John Candy, both Canadians. They were the highlight of this movie. And I can't contain it anymore. I just have to shout it from the rooftops. I love Canada because of people like those. And yes, I think it does shine. It shines their relationship on screen because of their relationship off screen. They're both very talented comedic actors, and it carries this movie, much like Brian said. That said, is the movie that great? I don't think so. I mean, I think for me, it didn't fall into the nostalgia trap. My nostalgia trap movie came a year later with Harry and the Hendersons. I watched that movie inside and out over and over again because that was my summertime adventure comedy. This one fell to the wayside, and that's okay. They're both about probably the same quality of movie. Just one I picked up and one I didn't. Overall, I'd say this is a 60 as well. Same as Brian. Same as Dan. And it's a fun watch, especially if you know John Candy. If you don't know John Candy, I'd recommend watching John Candy as well, because he's just so damn likable. And you just want a big bear hug from John Candy every day of your life. Go watch John Candy.
And with that, for our fourth ever Patreon pick, we have unfortunately our lowest score with The Great Outdoors coming in at just a 63. It's got some pretty stiff competition, and I'm actually not sad at this one at 63. It's unfortunate that for now it is the lowest on our list. But, I mean, City of God and Moon were both really strong. Fish Called One is the only one that it can really compete with, and I know for Brian it does. But what do you guys think? Like, is this pretty much where you thought it would land before seeing it?
Yeah. This is where I thought it would land. I was hoping you guys would like it a little bit more than A Fish Called Wanda, because I really didn't enjoy that movie, but it's just different strokes for different folks, and I think it's fine.
Yeah,
I agree. I think this is like, is it The Great Outdoors or is it The Humorous Outdoors? I think it leans more just to The Humorous Outdoors. It's pretty safe bet movie, pretty tame, whereas at least Fish Called Wanda was a little more risque, I felt, in the humor. It's British too, so it's a different kind of humor. And then, of course, City of God and Moon are like are really just quality movies.
Actually good films.
End to end. Yeah, so this is a fun romp. This is the kind of popcorn movie I like.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a little heart. It's got a little humor, but there's not much going for it.
You can laugh at the stupidity as much as the jokes.
Yeah. So. It's not aggravating. It's just kind of like, okay, yeah, we burned an hour and a half and had a laugh.
This is the fine outdoors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And honestly, like, I will take John Cleese over John Candy any day. No disrespect to anybody, but man, John Cleese does it for
me. Shirts off. Let's go.
All right. And that's our rating of The Great Outdoors. But what do you guys think? Leave a comment down below. I'd love to hear from you. We rated it too high or too low. Let me know what you think. We record this live over twitch.tv/TheMongoolieShow every Thursday night. So come on over there and hit the follow button so you can hang out with us live. Or if you made it this far in the video, you probably enjoyed it. Consider hitting that like button and subscribe so that we see you in the next one.